G'day, it's Tuesday the 28th of March. You're listening to the Pod Report, and we're going to be bringing global justice straight to your ear. Hello, Pod Report.
Have a nice day.
Hi, welcome to the Pod Report. You're listening to Andy Parnell, the host for the show. And we've got some things in store for you tonight. Over the last few weeks, I've been travelling about the countryside with some fair trade producers and for Fair Trade Fortnight. And that's been and gone now. And I did a few interviews in my busy period anyway. I still managed to get a few interviews in and would like to share some of those stories with you tonight. But just reflecting upon fair trade, we all know that fair trade, for example, well, I hope you do anyway, gives a guaranteed floor price for the producer. So typically that's about 20% normally of the recommended retail price, although not necessarily. Say, for example, compared to conventional trade, it's about 10%. I think for conventional trade on average, if we're sort of comparing the prices that producers get in developing countries for something for things like coffee, for example. So, you know, fair trade does make a difference to their lives. But I would like to reflect upon where the other 80% goes. And I guess fair trade could actually be fairer if we move some of the production offshore to the developing countries, to the third world countries. So, I mean, at the moment, the developing countries get about 20%, if it's fair trade, of the value chain from, say, tropical commodities such as, you know, pineapples or mangoes or sugar or rice or coffee or tea or whatever. And the other 80% of the value chain ends up still in the advanced capitalist countries where we are at the moment. So there could actually be room for improvement here. Certainly, I think fair trade's a brilliant thing, don't get me wrong, I love it to bits. It's certainly making a difference to about 5 million farmers in the world. And that means that it is making a difference, but it's also, what's the word for it? It's also not making a difference in the sense that it could make more of a difference. So another 20% maybe could be guaranteed to go to the third world countries if, for example, we were to move some of the production offshore. So particularly with, say, if we just take a jar of coffee as an example, if that was manufactured and developed in the developing world, in the majority world, then certainly what we would get instead is about 40 to 45%, maybe even up to 50% of the value chain actually going to developing countries. And if the fair trade principles were then applied to the factories so that the workers would also get a fair share, then that would make an amazing difference. You probably actually at least double the amount of people and their families that are benefiting from fair trade. So, yeah, great. Fair trade is great. Back it, support it, go for it. It could be fairer. Right, here's the first interview, but before we do, I'll just take us to a quick break. And then straight after that, we'll come back and we'll have a look at the first interview with Natasha Sugar, and she used to work for Divine Chocolate Company, but has since moved to Wales, and Her very first thing that she did for Fairtrade Fortnight, along with the Krikau group down that way, was do a Fairtrade fashion show. And it just shows that Fairtrade isn't just about food items. It can also be about clothing, about crafts, about a whole range of different products that are not necessarily farmer-driven as such. They could be artisan-driven instead. So, without further ado, I'll take you to a break and we'll get straight back into the show. Cheers. Thank you. Yes. Great tune that was by Flat Street there from Canada. Check them out. Check out their website. You can go to www.flatstreet.ca. Check them out. They play some brilliant stuff. And song is called Who Knows? And who knows when I'll be podcasting next. Okay, so on with the show. As I said, interview with Natasha Shergar coming right up. Hey, you're listening to the Pod Report. I'm just about to do an interview with Natasha Shergar, and we're here at the Crickhowell Fairtrade Fashion Show, broadcasting from the inside the back of the studio where all the clothing is. And Natasha, just wondering what set you off to create a Fairtrade Fashion Show?
Hi there, Andy. Thanks for asking me to talk. I'm relatively new in the area, and Crickhowell is a thriving small market town. And I noticed that there was nothing happening in Fairtrade Fortnight, which is a period each year where we celebrate Fairtrade products and try to create awareness of all the excellent food and drink and clothes that are available from developing countries. And I noticed that there was nothing happening in Crickhowell for Fairtrade Fortnight. So I thought, let's bring global citizenship to the area, to Crickhowell, in a really fun, friendly, upbeat sort of way. Try and engage young people, and, well, all ages, really. And so what I did is I suggested to all sorts of different people that we undertake a fashion show and also a fair. So I asked Fair Dues and Oyster Clothing in Cardiff if they would kindly come along and help with all the clothes. So they've brought some really amazing clothes, all sorts of evening wear, day wear, clothes for older people, clothes for younger people. And we've had some tremendous response from all sorts of different models, from age 9 months to well in their older years, and the vicar's wife, very importantly. So that there's been two fashion shows today, one at 11, one at 1, and really tremendous response from the local community. We've also had a fair going of local products, and fair trade products, including store by Tearcraft and the Nepal Leprosy Trust. So it's been a really great opportunity to get the local community involved.
And this stems, you first got into fair trade probably from your work, was it, or was it before then?
Well, yes, I used to work for the Day Chocolate Company. They produce Divine Chocolate and Double, the fairly traded snack with added comic relief. And I was one of their marketing managers a few years back. And so was very much involved in fair trade and fair trade in the local community.
But it's not just you today, is it? There's a lot of people helping out today, isn't there?
There certainly is. We've had a tremendous response from all members of the community, and I'm working very closely with the South Powers Let, so that's local exchange trading systems, and where we swap our time instead of swapping money. It's a sort of barter system where I might do some gardening, someone else does some babysitting, pickles, all those sorts of things. And we've had tremendous amounts of volunteers. And most importantly, from the high school, the Crickhowell High School, the students that are undertaking Global Challenge, going off to India for a month, they're having to raise lots of money. Three or four of the students doing that are organising the raffle and have actually organised the fashion show. So that's just been splendid. And then all sorts of mums and other friends from the local community have been helping out. We've had a tremendous response.
And what's been the response from the public who've come in to see the event for the first time?
Well, I think it's been very exciting for many people to learn about fair trade, because until very recently it's been something, I think, that's been You have fair trade tea and fair trade coffee, but there's not been much knowledge of fair trade elsewhere and other things. And so to have fair trade clothing that's not not just hippie clothes, it's some really elegant clothes, some really funky clothes, clothes that, you know, many, many different sorts of people would wear, has been really exciting. And linking it in with the local products, so we've had Arista hats, we've had Charles and Patricia Lester, and Sarah Frost, all local producers of clothing. We've mixed the two in so that you think local and you think global at the same time.
And there it is in practice then.
Yes, very much so.
So I think we'll call it a day now. So you're doing your next show at 1 o'clock. How do you think that's going to go?
Oh, I hope it's going to go really well. We've had a tremendous response so far, and I hope it continues and into the day.
Okay, Natasha, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Andy.
So that was Natasha Shergar at the Fair Trade Fashion Show down in Crickhowell in Wales. Okay, so we heard all about how fair trade, how people throughout Britain. During Fair Trade Fortnight, I think there was over something like 5,000 events or something. There was a huge amount of events. In our region, in Mid Wales, there was at least 20 events that I know of. And Fair Trade events went on throughout the country, and it's obviously raised awareness of the issue. And I guess it's like a first step. I mean, you take that step on the rung, don't you? You find out that you can change your buying habits and hopefully give producers in the developing world a fairer deal. And then it wakens you up to a fair few other things like trade justice and so on. And your mind gets expanded and you take on a more of an activist role, you know, hopefully. Well, that's the idea anyway. But at least as a first step, some of you might have heard of fair trade. It's only still in its infancy in places like Australia, for example, but it's a pretty big business over here in Europe at the moment, and I believe in Canada it's going quite well, and in the US various different universities are pushing it, for example. So, you know, people's awareness are being raised, and people's expectations as to, you know, what sort of packaging, not just what packaging, but what kind of trade system their products come in. You know, is it looking after people in developing countries, or is it treating them like slaves? And we hope that fair trade helps to bring a fairer world, definitely. Okay, so you've heard a little bit about fair trade. I'll talk a bit more about it next week as well. And no doubt you'll find, if you want to find out more about fair trade in the certification scheme, you probably want to go to www.fairtrade.net. If you're in Britain, it's www.fairtrade.org.uk. And also, Oxfam have got a pretty good website about fair trade in the broader sense of the term. I mean, in many countries, like places like Australia, for example, fair trade actually means it means trade justice. It's bigger than just the actual products. People tend to take a narrow view in Britain where they just seem to think that fair trade is just about the products, but it's not. It's about the value system behind the products. It's about the value chain and the relationships between people in developing countries and businesses and suppliers over here. So, okay, I won't go on about it too much. Have a look at some of those websites that I mentioned. If you're looking at doing a business of some kind and you wanted to get into fair trade but didn't know where to start, probably a good website is the International Fair Trade Association's website. And that is www.ifat.org. Okay, we'll leave it at that. I've got another tune from Flat Street called Funk That, something or other. You'll find out when you listen to it. Tongue it. So that's the same website if you want to find out more about them, about that band. And they play a nice bit of jazz. So let's see what they have to say. Oh, and of course, if you do want to check out the website, you can go to www.podreport.podomatic.com. So that one again, www.podreport.podomatic.com. And check us out, check out the show notes, and click on some of the links to about fair trade. Okay, see you next week now. Bye.
Sup, crackers. Welcome to the first official Flat Street compilation. I wish I could say like 16 blazing tracks of hot Hamilton music or something like that, but I don't know how many tracks are going to be on there, you know. But that's okay. You don't really care anyway. Wait a minute, guys. Fuck that shit, tongue it. That's the mantra for this album. So make sure you live by it.
Yeah.